Well, we are going to delve into God's word this morning. The beginning of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Now, even though it's actually from Paul and Timothy, by the way, because it's at the start, even though it's written for the church at Philippi, we can actually take these words to our heart. So starting from chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Thanks, Trish. Why don't I pray for us? Father God, we ask, Lord, this morning that you give us grace and peace. Help us to understand your word and to respond to it in faith. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you might have heard of the TV show a little while back called Shark Tank. It's about entrepreneurs who make business presentations to a panel of investors or sharks. Who decide whether they want to take a bite. If you want to be successful on Shark Tank, you've got to have a tight pitch to offer. You've got to be organized in your presentation. It's got to be a well thought out idea. You'd have to convey a sense that you're wholly invested in your idea yourself. Confident and invested, passionate about the cause. And the proof's in the pudding, right? You've got to point to some fruit, some proof to anyone who wants to partner up that they won't regret it. If the sharks like what they see, they'll take a bite. They'll become partners. Well, I'll put it to you that Paul's missionary trip to Philippi would have made for good TV too. Paul was in a shark tank for sure. But he was organized, invested in what he had to offer and brought real fruit to the table. The proof was in the pudding. And a number of sharks in Philippi not only took a bite of what Paul offered them in Christ, but they sank their teeth in all the way. And I'm talking about those who heard and saw and experienced and believed. People like Lydia, the slave girl, the jailer. They became gospel partners for life. And now Paul writes to them from house arrest in Rome about 10 years later to express his joy and affection for them, people who have partnered with him through thick and thin. And in Paul's eyes, these fellow citizens of heaven in Philippi, they get the gospel. They've also become organized for the mission, invested in the mission, and fruitful in the mission. And it makes him rejoice even in his chains. I've no doubt that when he thinks of the Philippians, he thinks it was all worth it. All the hardship, all the pain and suffering, it's all worth it when I remember my gospel partners. We should take a bite of this too. We should sink our teeth into this. We should be partners in the gospel, just like the church in Philippi. And just to be clear, in asking ourselves tough questions, as to whether we're getting the gospel in the same way the Philippians did, it's not to imply that we're not committed, invested, or fruitful as a church or as Christians. I think we're seeing real fruit here from the hard work of the gospel we're doing here at MLPC. But how good would it be, though, to abound more and more in it all? Well, we can. It's Paul's prayer. It's all of our prayer. I think we could even use or frame the next 3 points, the following 3 points of this sermon, as prayers that we could be praying for one another as gospel partners. So there's 3 points: that we get organized, that we get invested, and that we get fruity. Let's sink our teeth in. First point, get organized. Look at verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, since the humble beginnings of the church in Philippi, which we looked at last week in Acts 16, it's grown over the last 10 years to become an organized, established, active, and fruitful church. Look closely in verse 1. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. The church in Philippi now has overseers, deacons, and missionaries, apparently. Paul calls them all saints, holy people, which means they're set apart, sanctified, specialized, ordered, and organized for God's purposes. They've clearly understood that God organizes his people in an orderly, structured, yet flexible way. Some are overseers, some are deacons, some are bound to this, others are freed up for that. All are saints and servants of God. And we know Paul instructed churches in all places to reflect this kind of orderliness, so as to stand out from all the chaos of the world around us. Our God is a God of order. And when your house is in order, you get things done. A church being organized is a church being obedient to the word of God. Look at how organized the church in Philippi was. They've been very kind to Paul. They've supported him financially, spiritually, practically, personally throughout the years. They've sent aid to Paul, probably money, clothing, materials for ministry. We'll see that in chapter 4. They sent Epaphroditus to him. That's a person, to bring the aid, to help him, encourage him, and we'll see that in chapter 2. They pray for him, they're concerned for him, they desire Paul to come and visit them, to report how the gospel's faring in the world. They take on his teaching, they listen to his advice, they follow his example and support his mission. This was an organized gospel church. They would have looked so different to all the other organizations of the world around them. Remember, Pax Romana was a propaganda machine that had no real substance of order, clarity, long-term effectiveness, let alone grace and peace at its core. But here, Paul knows where grace and peace is to be found. It's in an organization like the Church of God, like the church in Philippi. And that's why he says, grace and peace to you from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first point, fairly short, get organized. Second point to see, get invested. Look from verse 3-6. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Sometimes when we pray, our tone changes, our face changes, our inflection changes. Whenever Paul's praying, and I'm sure he had a lot to pray for each day, both good and not so good, his tone, face and inflection changes. He lights up with joy and glee when he remembers the Philippians. And it's all because of their partnership in the gospel with him. They've always had his back from the first day until now. That is, that they're invested in the gospel. They get the gospel. Think of the Philippian church as a happy puppy. They're ready to go, ready to follow, ready to do whatever you're doing, and they've got your back, loyal and full of energy in life. Puppies bring joy because they're all in all the time. The Philippian church brings joy to Paul, and they experience joy themselves. And I reckon that's what being partners in the gospel leads to. Joy. Because many hands make light work. And in Christ, many hands make joyful work, especially when it's done with your best friends. But being invested also leads to perseverance and grit. And genuine affection for one another. Look from verse 7. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. The Philippians aren't just a happy puppy to Paul. They've gone through thick and thin with him. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. They display gospel grit. I think this is something we really struggle with as Christians in the West in the 21st century. Perseverance, resilience, grit. And as a result, we probably find words like affection to be a bit strange or weird. Affection. Look, sometimes I struggle to feel affection for my own wife and kids, let alone all you lot. Sorry. Affection only comes through deep connection. Through going through tough stuff, which makes you connected together. Gospel grit means you're invested for the long haul. Through tough stuff, through times of pain, disappointment, grief, growth, going from immaturity to maturity together, going from puppies to trustworthy companions that will lay down their lives for each other. Gospel grit in a church community means looking at each other, knowing there's hard work to be done and getting on with it, with a cheeky smile, knowing that it'll all be worth it. That we'll all look more like Christ at the finish line. With the genuine affection of Christ Jesus for one another. We're all works in progress. And we all have the same guarantee here that God will carry on the work he's doing in us to completion. Remember that next time you get frustrated by a fellow partner in the gospel. And notice the phrase, share in God's grace there in verse 7. It's basically the same phrase as in verse 5, which says partnering in the gospel. It should really read in verse 7 here, they're partakers in God's grace. So that's partners in the gospel, partakers in God's grace. Partners and partakers. But the key word here is grace. It's not that they're gritty or resilient by nature, you know, able to persevere because they're strong or tough enough. It's because they know their weakness before God and that God shows his strength and power in and through their weakness. That's the grace of God they partake in. And that's why they share so much joy and affection for one another. They get the gospel. See, this stuff ain't a pipe dream, friends. The Christian life really can look like this. It did in Philippi. And it can abound more and more here for us too, if we get invested, if we see ourselves as partners in the gospel and partakers in the grace of God. Get organized, get invested, and the third point is get fruity. Look from verse 9 to the end. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. If it hasn't been clear so far, how a church could be this healthy, this organized, this invested in the gospel and grace of God, a church like Philippi that Paul has almost nothing negative to say about in the whole letter. Let this last section be the thing that makes it clear. The only way that a church can become like this is that we understand love, gospel love. Not just with what we say, but that we abound in it, word and deed. According to these final verses, love abounds more and more by knowing God, having depth of insight into who God is through Christ Jesus. Knowing God will translate directly into loving others. This is who God is. Mark those words. If you truly know the Father, you will love like the Father. It'll cause you to become like a tree that bears fruit, in season and out of season. You'll be able to discern what is good and godly in life for you and for those you're discipling in the Lord. You'll stand with all the saints on the last day, pure and blameless together, having known God and the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul is very fond of fruit trees as a picture of the Christian life. He's used the analogy many times in many of his letters and surely in many of his sermons. Bearing fruit that resembles the righteousness of Christ Jesus is the goal for Paul. He loves it. He's obsessed with it. He sees himself as a little tree, a branch connected to Christ, drawing from the sap of the wisdom and knowledge of Christ to produce fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul was fruity. And all this is from God. It's from the vine. As Paul says in chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." I honestly believe it's not just a sermon illustration for Paul. It's what he wakes up to work on. It's what he goes to sleep reflecting on. It's what he hopes to offer Christ when he meets his maker. Here is all the return for your investment in your servant. Here's the fruit. Paul's obsessed with cultivating and bearing fruit in himself by God's Spirit. And he's obsessed with seeing it in all the saints he's in partnership with too. The Spirit brings it all about, but do you think Paul's happy to simply dangle there on a tree hoping to flourish? No way. Bearing spiritual fruit takes spiritual discipline. We're not simply twigs that pop out peaches every now and again. We're called to work in the garden of our own hearts, to do pruning, plucking, watering, harvesting. Yes, God is the capital G gardener. It's all from the vine. But we don't simply sign up and sit back expecting to see the fruit of the Spirit blossom in our lives. See, there's something that the Philippians get that not all Christians get. Paul planted many churches that were genuinely thought of by Paul as the truly elect, the people of God. who also never supported him, never sent aid, never took his advice, never took on the responsibility of becoming partners in the gospel with him in any practical way. Paul says later in chapter 4, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. We got to take that on board. It's possible for God's people to make it across the finish line with not much at all to show for our time here on the mission field, having been more of a hindrance than a help to the spread of the gospel. I'm not saying we're like that, but it's a good thing to think on, isn't it? Are we doing our bit in the garden? Are we fruity? We can always be fruitier. There's plenty of fruity people here at MLPC. Let's abound in it more and more. And we'll be more joyful and confident, gritty, affectionate, happy, and useful to Christ in his kingdom as gospel citizens together. Who wouldn't want to take a bite of that? Who wouldn't want to partner up with us? Well, I hope this is all making your tails wag. Let's look at what we've got so far. Paul is overjoyed with this mob in Philippi. They get the gospel and they get what it means to be gospel partners with him in it. They're organized for the mission. They're invested all the way. They're a fruity, Christ-like church that abound in love. So the proof's in the pudding with them. We can be organized like them. We can be invested like them. And we can see fruit like them. We can be gospel partners with them. If you're here and you're not a Christian, let me bring the offer before you as though it was Shark Tank. If you don't want it, you're free to swim away. Here's the pitch. Our Creator God sent his own Son to come down here and become human to fix something we did wrong. He walked among us, stood before the sharks, as it were, and presented us with the good news, an offer we could become partners and partakers in. He was organized and clear in his presentation. He knew his offer would work. He was personally invested in what he was offering. He went on to seal the deal with his own blood on the cross. That was part of the offer, by the way, unbeknownst to the people who put him on the cross. He bore fruit, impossible fruit, for a mere man. He hung dead on a dead tree of thorns, splinters, and nails. He was buried in a stone tomb for enough days to prove biological bankruptcy for anyone else. And yet, Christ Jesus rose again from the dead, proving and guaranteeing that what he was offering was the real deal, the proof in the pudding. And he's still offering you the same thing today. Citizenship in a kingdom, an eternal kingdom of love. And he's even sent down the down payment for what's to come for all his partners and partakers. The Holy Spirit, who breathes life into all those who put their faith in Jesus, enabling them to produce real fruit that'll never rot or fade or perish. That's the pitch. You going to take a bite? Taste and see that the Lord is good, I reckon. For the rest of us who claim to be partners in the gospel, here's the pitch. We could be more organized in the way we think about who we are as a church, by getting clear about what the mission is for us as a church. Are our kids clear on who we are, on why we do what we do? Will they stick with it when it's time for us to hand the baton along to them? Or will we hand them a disorganized mess? Because they might not feel all that compelled to take it up. We could also be more organized in our own lives so we can spend our energy on the real reason we live and breathe rather than always being anxious and tired from trying to manage our unnecessarily chaotic lives. We're supposed to be people of grace and peace, people who live simple and effective lives of love, discipline, order, and godliness, lives that reflect the God who brings order to chaos. We could also be more invested. There's plenty of small things we could do to make a huge difference to the hard work of the gospel ministry in this place. Things that show our solidarity to one another in the gospel. It could simply mean turning up to prayer meetings, rocking up to church on time, sticking around to chat with people after church. See, these kinds of things show that you're invested. Shows our kids that we're invested, and those who visit us that we're invested. It shows one another we're invested. Maybe it could mean carving out time to visit people during the week, to encourage, pray with, partner with, etc. It could mean we reevaluate the ministries that we want to support, or finding a way to bless and encourage our missionaries over and above what's expected. That would bring them joy. Investing could look like committing financially, or committing your time, committing your resources, house, or whatever might be needed or helpful to partner in the gospel. And we could be more fruitful. Are we as individuals cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, in our relationships, marriages, parenting, our jobs, and in our downtime, in all we do? Thinking of ourselves each day as we wake up as little fruit trees that could reap a harvest of fruit before we even get to bed in the evening? Are we as a church awake to the difficult job of cultivating fruit in our church community, which is a very complex garden? Could we find more and better ways to show love to one another, to go out of our way for one another, to look for the good in one another before we find fault, to point each other towards Christ with grace and affection? And when we see areas to work on, to point each other to Christ with grace and affection, being confident that we're all going to be completed one day by God. We'll be more fruitful if we help cultivate fruit in one another and allow others to help cultivate it in us, knowing that we're all partaking and sharing in the same grace to the glory of God. This is all what it means to be gospel partners. I'm certainly praying for this in my own life and for all of you, just as I know you're all praying for me and all the overseers and deacons and saints and servants here at MLPC. Let's pray for it now. Lord, help us to be organized, invested, and fruity for you. For Christ Jesus to be manifested in our lives by your Spirit. Lord God, help us to know the joy that Paul knows, the grace and peace that he testifies to. Help us to walk as gospel partners from this day until the end. In Jesus' name, make it so. Amen.